Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard.
And I have a theory.
Chickens. I don't really know how to approach this one because a lot of you have already seen The Church on Ruby Road, but I'm going to pretend like I haven't because I haven't because I'm in the past. Timey-wimey. Anyway, there is a bonus episode out today for those people who are listening to this in the regular feed. If you're on Patreon, it's in a couple of days. You know, tomorrow. Oh my God, I don't even know how this works anymore. Is it tomorrow? No, it's in 2 days. What day is it today? Timey-wimey. this is like you'd think I'd never pre-recorded anything before in my life. Like this has been the thing. Like a lot of my career has been live. Like I did live radio for a long time. I used to do a lot of morning television, which was live. But, you know, like Hard Quiz is pre-recorded sometimes a year in advance. Like there have been episodes that haven't gone to air for 18 months after they've been shot. But, you know, I don't present that show, so I don't have to worry. Anyway, wibbly wobbly, a tammy wammy. We are talking about Wild Blue Yonder, the second of the 60th anniversary specials. I got a text message from Peter. Who said, well, that was fun and creepy. I'm sure there'll be a few kids pooping themselves at bedtime tonight. He didn't say pooping. He said a rude word. He said, my older brothers would have freaked me out saying my arms are too long for weeks after. They tortured me for years with the front cover of a Jaws paperback and over a disappearing skeleton from a Tony Hart show. I can still hear the word Spartacus. I still can't hear the word Spartacus without getting the chills. Anyway, lovely episode, lots of fun and spooky ookie. By the way, Peter then rang me later in the day to explain the Tony Hart reference, which went for about 14 hours. Let's just say there's a reason I don't have guests on this show. Because it's only 10-minute episodes. But I don't know if you know Tony Hart. He was an artist. He created the character of Morph, who was like a little plasticine man, and he used to do like arts and crafts in these different shows. Like I used to watch them after school, or like I think they were on the ABC in the afternoon. There was one called Vision On, which was like it was kind of silent. I mean, there was noise, but maybe intended for people with hearing difficulties. So, yeah, but they would just do all sorts of arts and crafts and things. And, you know, it was, you always wanted to do all the stuff. But then I was like, I don't know what shops sell this stuff because it's not at my newsagents. Because it was British and in Australia, we didn't have all those things. Tony Hart. I still don't remember that. Like, he told me about the disappearing skeleton and Spartacus, and I still don't understand. He's going to, now that he's, when he hears this episode, he's going to ring me and tell me the whole story again. And I still won't get it. Needless to say, he's frightened. He says he's interested in the whole Mavity gravity thing. And another mention of games is all the toy maker influencing things. The baddies today did have a feel of almost dolls in a game against the Doctor and Donna, fighting for their lives at the cost of theirs. Ooh, very reminiscent of the first Toymaker story. Also reminiscent of that character in The Giggle who became a dolly because he lost a game. Although I would have loved to have seen the game that he lost. That would have been fun. But yes, thank you, Peter. Jordan says, I loved Digital Doctor and Donna zooming past the screen in the little space golf cart. Yeah, some of the effects were ambitious. And I don't think they quite pulled it off. Like, I get why they, you know, it's easier to use a CGI'd version of a character rather than the actual character in a fast-paced scene in the hopes that no one's going to really see it because it's blurry. But they don't have a giant television like I do. Like, seriously, it's obscene. I was always, like, the one that wanted the bigger television, and then I've managed to find myself in a relationship with someone's like, no, let's go bigger. And I'm like, no, that's too big. Anyway, the day it arrived, and it would barely fit in the house, and, like, Gary was standing next to the box, and it came up to his shoulder. Like, the TV is stupid. Anyway, when you've got a giant TV and things are being broadcast in 4K, you can see a lot. Like, it's a lot. Anyway, bless you, Jordan. Jeff says, for some reason, I thought at first that they'd traveled inside the sonic screwdriver. Oh, what a fun concept. I love that, Jeff. I want that to be it now. I mean, I'm glad that they were at the edge of space and there was the weird horsehead alien. But, oh my God, imagine an episode set inside the Sonic. Like, it must be infinite in there because it does so many things. Like, now it makes shields and heads-up displays. It vibrates wood and bricks and mortar. It's very busy. I know it doesn't work on wood, does it? But it did calculate the wood over the millions of years. Jeff also says, I love the hell out of this episode, but I've been wondering, is this purely a high concept sci-fi story, or is there some deeper theme or meaning that I'm not picking up on? I mean, other than kind of the thing with the salt and sort of introducing the, you know, the more fantastical element of the toy maker and whatever else is coming. I think it was just a spooky story. It was riffing on many times when it's just been the Doctor and their companion trapped and alone, trying to find their way out. For instance, like I mentioned last time, the Ark in Space, like the opening two episodes of that are very, very spooky, and there's no one else in it. And it happens a few times when they're trying to save money. Like, the one with, oh my God, the opening episode of The Mind Robber is out there. Like, it is, oh. And it was done out of expediency because they, like, one of the episodes from, I think it's The Dominators, they went, oh, this is only going to make it to 5 episodes. We've run a bit short. And so they've gone, oh, quick, let's cobble together 20 minutes of Doctor Who. I think it's like the shortest episode ever. It's only about 19 minutes all up. But it's fun. Like, it's spooky and it's weird and it's just, it's everything you want Doctor Who to be. Just strange. But no, I don't think there was a deeper meaning other than, you know, it's a two-hander with the Doctor and Donna. Like, we get to see them actually kind of have conversations that they haven't meant to have before, even though sometimes they're conversations with not them. But yeah, no, it's good. Kendall says, I love that Wild Blue Yonder gave the Doctor a Marty McFly moment. Gary also laughed at that. Gary rides a scooter. He tells me it's an adult scooter, but I don't believe him. But he got very excited at seeing the doctor pushing the TARDIS with his foot like a scooter, like, "Wee, let's go down the wall." the lovely Illawarra Spider-Man, who is a delight. If you live down that way and there's an event on, then pop down, you'll probably see Spidey. He's great. Said, got up at 8:30 a.m. yesterday to watch, and it was great, although I'm worried they won't ever fix Mavity. Lol. I mean, the Mavity thing is full on, which Ali picked up on, saying, one thing that bothered me all the way through the episode, Newton may have coined gravity in the sense of the magnetic power of the Earth, but I think the word would have already existed in the context that the Doctor and Donna used it, the gravity of the situation. The etymology would have been different. Gravity from grave is in grave danger, which I would guess without actually checking with Merriam-Webster would have come from something dangerous enough it could land you in the grave. Ergo, it wouldn't have been an exotic new word that Newton couldn't understand or remember properly. The wordplay that they used all through the episode is based on false logic. You're correct, Ali. Although it's not something dangerous, it's something heavy. Like, it's from gravitas, which is a Latin word, which means heavy. So it is kind of, I guess, unless, you know, the implication is that he already had kind of gravitas in his head and was thinking, you know, heavy gravity, and that was happening. And then this weird incident happens with the Doctor and Donna up in the tree, the gravity of the situation, blah, and he's just gone, what even was that bizarre moment? And it's kind of pushed everything out of his head except for the avity part. And because he was thinking gravitas, but he's heard something avity, and it's like, it's not cavity because that's a hole, and it's not bravity because that sounds like brevity, that sounds like something short. Maybe mavity, yeah, I'll give it a go. Like, I don't know. I mean, it is a false premise, you're correct, but it's kind of hilarious and I love it. All right, more on the Wild Blue Yonder in the next episode.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.